Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Jay Young Show. It's Jay Young here at The Jay Young Show. And today I got a really, really great guest. Mario Gallo, somebody I've known for 10 years. I mean, he's a great guy. Lives in Southern California, back there where the weather's always great. And Mario, I want you to, first, welcome to the show, Mario.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I'm gonna do something that I rarely do, but I'm gonna flip the mic to Mario because, you know, we've worked together, we know each other very well, but Mario wants to ask me some questions about what we do, because he wants to share those with his people and his investors, his clients, and his friends, just to kind of get to know, you know, who I am. So, Mario, take it away.
All right. Let me just for context, let me kind of explain a little bit what we do. It's a pleasure to be friends and to be able to work with King. King's a very unique and different type of company in the oil and gas. You guys are providing some disruptive technology in the way you guys structure things, and that kind of attracted us to working with you. We work with the a little bit about SoCal Real Estate Ventures. We work with the best in class alternative asset sponsors in the marketplace today. We help build private syndicate funds and promote them to the capital marketplace of RIAs, family offices, CPAs, high net worth individuals. And I think going through the interview and kind of understanding in detail the unique fund, the disruptive fund that you guys have on the street, I think it's going to be very beneficial for my clientele.
Man, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a really great interview, and it's going to be really good for your people to know that there is something, that there is a different way to
do it.
And that's what we're here today. So.
So perhaps let me start off here. You know, oil and gas has always fascinated me, and I know it's fascinated other folks. There's been so much money made in oil and gas, and it's just a lot of things changing and happening in today's marketplace. It's a pleasure to have you on. Jay, if you don't mind, let's start off with, when did you decide to get into the oil and gas industry? Like, what was that process, and how did that happen?
That's a good question, and it goes back many, many generations and years, because I decided, after college, I thought, okay, don't go into real estate, because when I was going through, college, oil prices were down. They were big time down, and my grandfather, I knew my great grandfather, but I didn't know him. I didn't know him very well because he passed before I really got up in age, but my grandfather and my dad both trying to get me out of the oil and gas industry because prices were down and everybody was looking for a job. Mm-hmm. So, when I graduated from college in 85, it was like trying to find a job anywhere would be great. And, but then, it just kind of pulled me back, and in the late 80s, I thought, man, you know what? I got to get into this industry. I love drilling, fracking, increasing assets, doing the right thing for our investors. So I got into it in the late 80s.
Now you come from a family, an oil family, correct?
I do. Yeah. We've been in the oil and gas business. If you talk about my great grandfather, my grandfather, my uncles, aunts, second cousins, I mean, this is over a hundred years that somebody in our family has been associated with oil and gas.
Well, so you've seen the ups and downs. You've seen everything from that. That's pretty amazing. So much so that you've recently, you know, from my understanding, published a book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And what are the expectations when somebody reads this book that, you know, for them to walk away with when reading the book?
Well, I wanted investors to know that there is a way to make money in oil and gas. I mean, when oil was minus, you know, $27 a barrel back in March, I mean, who knew that I was going to write a book called Upside, because there's nowhere to go but up. It oil is at 43 now or whatever. But, you know, what I wanted investors to know was there's a different way that they can participate in oil and gas. And we do, our model's like the real estate model of oil and gas that they can invest in. They've made a lot of money in real estate. They understand real estate. We wanted to do the same thing with our book, telling people about how to invest, which is different. You know, we have a different way to do it.
Right. And, you know, so what fascinates me is that, you know, I'm a real estate guy at heart, but what fascinates me is that you see a lot of real estate guys investing in oil and gas. And I think, you know, and we'll get more into it, what I've seen is a lot of similarities between real estate and oil and gas. And, you know, we'll get into that a little bit further on. One question I really want to kind of hit on is, I know in the past, back in the 80s or whatnot, there is particular ways that people invested. And I know there's a difference in the way people invest today. What's that difference? And how are you guys on the forefront of that and making that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, what we're doing, if normally people that say, well, I've invested oil and gas one time, I lost my money, you know, what they're doing is they're investing in a one well project where there's no, you know, there's no scalability, there's no exit, period. You know, there's even big funds out today that investors are participating in, and they may get their money back, they may not, but they're doing it because, man, it's 100% write-off. Man, I love these write-offs. I want to do it because of the write-offs, mm-hmm. write-offs, and they get their money back. Even advisors that I've talked to have said, yeah, you know what? My clients get a write-off. They get to participate in oil and gas, and they also get their money back. You know, I'm not interested in just getting clients their money back. I want to give them 2-3-to-1 return. So we're doing our model like an institution where you're participating in an asset and you're growing that asset over time, which I know we'll talk about in a minute, but we're growing that asset in the next 15 to 18 months to look at, you know, scaling it and selling it. Scale it and sell it, right? I mean, but oil and gas is different. Mm-hmm. Real estate may take 3, 5, 7 years. Oil and gas may take 18 to 24 months. You scale it and sell it, then you want anything to do for a couple of years because of the price oil, which is very, very important mm-hmm. for our assets and what we're doing.
So in the past, just so I'm clear, in the past, people would invest in an oil well and then the oil well would eventually run out of oil. Right here, it sounds to me like you guys are adding value to buying land, drilling, adding value, and then scaling that operation. And we'll get more into that, but, you know, am I on the right track?
Absolutely. You know, you're talking about, you know, let's say you're going to go out and you're going to develop 100 homes and you're going to buy 100 lots, or mm-hmm. you're going to develop 100 lots, but you're only putting homes on 10, and then you're saying, okay, well, you can sell these other 90 lots to all these other people in the future, and it's future revenue. So that's what scaling it is, and that's what we do, right?
Right.
I mean, we're in an oil field that's already produced 8 million barrels of oil. You know, at $50 a barrel, that's $400 million worth of oil. So we're going where the oil has already been found.
Right.
And we're going to produce another 5 million barrels of oil, and then we're going to sell it. You know, or 3 to 5 million barrels of oil, then we're going to sell it. We're not going to go out here and try to produce another 30, 40 million barrels of oil. That's not our deal.
So
it sounds like somebody else do that.
So you guys are not, you know, sitting there trying to find an oil fill. You guys go where the oil's at and you exploit what's already there, is what it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. We found an asset that has 120 million barrels there in place. We know that from our engineering studies. 120 million barrels of oil. It's produced 8 million. barrels of oil. So there's a lot of oil left. So, and we don't want to produce at all. We just want to get it started while these prices are low,
right?
And increase the value of the asset. And then we want to sell it by the end of next year.
Got it. So tell me about the current fund you guys have on the street. I mean, it's phenomenal. And what I'm seeing, the potential of the returns and all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all based on the price of oil, right? I mean, it's like right now oil prices are, let's say, $40 a barrel. We're raising this fund and what we're going to do is deploy that capital once the capital comes in. So once we have the money in, we're going to increase the value by drilling 14 wells. We're going to deepen 10 or 8 wells, deepen 10 wells, 8 wells. We're going to do some Niobrara sidetracks, drill some Muddy J wells. We're going to increase the value by drilling. And then by the end of the third quarter next year, what we'll do is we'll go to a third-party outside firm, like an appraisal on your house. Uh-huh. We'll say to them, hey, what's the value of this asset? And they'll tell us. And then we're also going to go to an A&D shop, which is an acquisition and divestiture shop, and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're putting this up on the market to sell. And so at that point, what they'll do is they will go to 1,000 different companies, and they'll say, hey, we have this asset, and it's in Colorado, and it's producing 400 barrels of oil a day, and it has 300 locations left. Do you guys want to see it? And then what happens is you'll send out to 1,000 companies, maybe 30 or 40 are interested in this asset, and then you'll close on one of them. And chances are you'll get a lot more money than you would before. So we raised $6 million and gave $8 million back within 15 months by just selling a third of the asset.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. So similar to, let's call it real estate again. It's like buying, a property, adding value to it, increasing the value, and then selling it. So there's this company you're talking about. It's like a brokerage in a sense, or a broker who can sell it to a market. So there's a marketplace. There's an exit, a clear defined exit for you guys once you get this, once you get it going.
Absolutely, man. There was a guy that at the end of last year, he was telling me about this in January, February this year, but he said, you know what? He goes, we sold our royalty fund to some firm out of Colorado or New York. And he said, but the A&D shop had a big reach and told everybody that, we're producing $3 million worth of income a year. And he said, we thought we were going to get $30 to $35 million for it. But he said, you know what? He said, we got $44 million because they're the highest bidder. I mean, man, can you imagine that? My friend thought he was going to get 30 to 35 million and he ended up getting 44. I mean, it's amazing what people out there will pay for assets and for cash flow. Mm-hmm. But we may go, Mario, at the end of next year and just say, hey, we're going to take on bids of, does somebody want to buy the whole asset and control it, operate it? Or do they want to buy 40% of it and just get the cash flow because we have an active drilling program? And just continue drilling through drilling and get the income. I mean, there's so many different options that we can do. Most importantly, what's the best thing for the investor? Investors want their money back.
Right.
How can I get them their money back as fast as possible is on our minds all the time.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So this fund, where is it located? What's the fund amount? What's the monthly income? What are the terms of the fund?
Good idea. Good. So we're about an hour north of Denver, Colorado, on the way to Cheyenne. If you drive up I-25, there's a lot of oil and gas production up there on the east side of the road is Weld County. We're on the west side of the road, which is Larimer County. An oil field has been producing up there in Wellington, near Wellington, Colorado, since 1923. Mario, make sure you send a drone video to a lot of people. You see? And you see wells that were literally drilled in 1923, almost 100 years. These wells were drilled. So, man, a lot of exciting, and a lot of oil that's still there, which is amazing. But the fund is $50 million. Mm-hmm. We're going to acquire the assets. We're going to run some 3D seismic. We're going to do some work on 14 wells in the fund. and then we're going to deploy that capital by drilling, deepening, sidetracking, doing all of this. So we will, we've already got about almost 10 million at the end of, in the end of July, we're about at $10 million. So we're, this is the big, you know, people love the write-offs because of, you know, they're, you know, California's 50%, New York, Texas isn't as bad, but we pay a lot of real estate taxes here more than you. But here, you know, it's a $50 million run. Let me tell you something real quick. You know, by the end of next year, we feel like that our asset's going to be worth $80 million at $40 a barrel. It's $50 million raise, $80 million by the end of next year at $40 oil. Because what matters is not the price of oil today, but the price of oil when you sell, right? I mean, who cares? We want prices to go down now. You know, we've got some incentives for some early money to come in now because we want the money to come in so I can go pay some of these drilling contractors so I can lock in, you know, these cheaper prices to drill and complete wells now.
Right.
We've got some incentives, early incentives for people, you know, for July and August to come in, September, come in early. We'll have some incentives for them to come in so we can drill wells cheaper. We don't care what the price is today. What we care about is when we get to end of next year, what's the price of oil? Because as I mentioned, at $40 a barrel, that asset's worth $80 million. At $100 a barrel, it's worth $180 million. It's worth $100 million more dollars that'll come into the investors, for the investors, $100 million more dollars just because the price of oil has gone up.
So it sounds to me like you're saying you're basically buying a property, and literally, you know, right, you're buying the land and drilling, but you're like, in real estate terms, you're buying a property at the bottom of the market, in a sense. And the only way the market is to go is up.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're optimistic about oil prices like I am, I mean, if you've seen supply and demand and you've seen that we're the rig count's down over 70% right now. We're not drilling for new wells right now. Our production in the United States has gone from 13 million barrels a day to 11. It's going to continue going down because we're just not replacing those barrels right now with rigs. So
right,
our production is going to go down. And when you need oil, that means the price is going to go up.
So what was it that, like, why is oil so low? Like, what, can you explain that?
Yeah. So what happened was back in the, right before the pandemic, Russia, Saudi Arabia came on and they started flooding our market with oil. They started coming in and saying, oh my gosh, we're going to flood the market, the United States, with oil because we want to drive all these companies out of it, because these countries make money by selling oil. We don't go around the world trying to sell oil to all these different people. We don't do that. That's not in our model. But Saudi Arabia, Russia, all these other countries, that's how they make money. So what they were trying to do is they were trying to increase the price in the long term, not necessarily right now. So they flooded the market with oil, and then all of a sudden the pandemic happened. And so our demand went way down, 20-30% down. So you had a double-edged sword. You had Saudi Arabia and Russia flooding our markets with oil. So we've got a huge hangover from that still. But also you have a the pandemic that happened, that demand went down. So, you know, so now what you're seeing is that's the low point, minus -$27 a barrel. We're on our way up to $40 a barrel. And I wrote that article in Forbes that I said, hey, oil is going to be at $65 a barrel. And why? Because of supply and demand. When the numbers come out and our demand's coming back up, mm-hmm, we're not going to have the supply because we're not drilling for any new oil, or not as much oil, let's say. Right. So mm-hmm, we're going to be at 8-9 million barrels a day in production by the end of this year. And then the next year, we'll be at the same numbers. So what'll happen is, you know, we'll be looking for oil. We'll have a supply problem. And when we have a supply problem, we'll be looking for oil and oil prices will go up. And hey, that's That's when we're selling, right?
Simple supply.
And our clients will make $100 million more, could, because the price goes from $40 a barrel to $100, if it does go to $100.
What makes King different than their competitors? And, you know, talk a little bit about your business plan, right? How that works, the criteria you look for, PUDs, what exactly are those, the drilling units, you know, the different revenue streams you guys have. Tell me about that.
Yeah, okay. Good question, Mario. And, you know, how we're different, that's the reason why I wrote the book. I wrote the book and, man, I said, man, you know what? I want to go out and if this explains to people how we're different than other sponsors, because other sponsors aren't going to do them, aren't going to have the model we do. They don't want to have anything to do with the scalability. They may say, yeah, we're going to try to sell the asset, but they're not setting it up. So I've got a lot of friends. I mean, when I was with the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, you know, baseball, I sat next to Ken Hirsch a lot. Well, Ken's, you know, the owner of NGP with Richard Rainwater. They developed this system. So I started talking to him about, hey, what do you do to set up companies to how to sell? And so I talked to him and I talked to, you know, George Solis is another mentor that I know that how do you set up these assets to sell? And I talked to these guys and thought, okay, this is exactly how to do it. So Colorado is really the first project that we've had. I've got the success we had back in 2016. Mm-hmm. We tried to sell the asset in 2018, and our biggest investor wasn't ready yet, because we raised like $40 million, and it was only like $240 million. So we ramped it up really big, but our big investor wasn't ready yet. So by the time they were ready, you know, the price went down. Well, that's not going to happen here. You set it up. When you get to $240 million, you sell. You know, you set up a plan. The thing that people don't realize is it takes a lot to drill and complete wells and to get it to that certain level. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do with Colorado. We're going to drill. We're going to raise the capital. Then we're going to exploit, which means we're going to go out there and we're going to complete these wells and do whatever we need to. And so by the third quarter of next year, 2021, we're going to put it up for sale. And it's going to be attractive enough to somebody that will give us money. As I mentioned, it's worth $80 million by the end of next year. Mm-hmm. And that $40 oil, well, I mean, I've already put my engineers, geologists to work and said, how much oil is going to come out of the ground? And then I've got my financial people, you know, two separate mindsets and said, okay, so if this much oil is coming out of the ground at $40 a barrel, how much is it going to be worth? Mm-hmm. So they've told me at $40, $60, $80, $100 a barrel, how much money that's going to be worth. Yeah. So that's why we're excited about this asset, because we're setting it up. Now, what happens if oil goes to $20? Well, we're breaking even at $20 a barrel. By the end of next year, Mario, we're going to be at $20 a barrel. We're at break even. We're going to drill some more wells. Is that my first thought? No, but I don't think oil is going to go to 20. But if it does, we're break even, and we will just raise some more money to go drill some more wells, or we'll figure out what to do from there.
Right. So, you wrote the potential of the oil going up as high as $65 a barrel or more. Are there other groups agreeing with that? Are there other talking heads out there, you know, saying that? I know you guys, I mean, you come from a family of 100 years in the oil business, but let's say institutions, are there any institutions that are also seeing that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, I wrote that article, and it was like, if you look at the article, I think it was March 22nd or something. And that was right in the middle of the pandemic, right? Yeah. I mean, man, I wrote this article, and then by the time, you know, it goes through and all this, oil prices had crashed. So I was a little scared, frankly. You know, at the time I was like, oh my gosh, man, I put this article out there. My marketing lady was like, oh, you sure you want to put this article out? You want to try to, you know, I go, nope, I'm good. I really feel like oil prices are going to go down, because you just don't write it one day and it goes out on Forbes the same day, you know? So I wrote it. It took a couple of weeks, pandemic, oil prices minus 27. Here's this guy in Texas talking about $65 a barrel. And I'm like, yep, I'm good. Why am I good? Well, because I understand the basics behind it. But then a couple of weeks after that, there was a lady that wrote an article, and she said, $100 a barrel by the end of this year. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good.
Right.
But then J.P. Morgan, who has a lot more clout than I do, you know, that they are the ones that said that oil prices are going down to a negative number, minus 27. They said oil price will go to a negative number, which they did. And now they're saying that in the next couple of years, oil will be at $190 a barrel. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine what that's going to do? And, you know, my first thought is, wow, that's a big number.
My first thought is get in now, right? Get in now and ride the wave.
Get in now because you won't be able to get in. You know, it's you don't want to get in when oil's at $80 to $100 a barrel. I mean, you just can't increase the value that much. It's not as good. Get in today. Buy low, sell high. Buy low, sell high. It's, you know, one of the biggest slogans out there. But you want to increase the value when oil prices are down. Now, can you make money at $100 a barrel? Yes. You can make a little bit of money. What's the best way to make money? Just think about it for a second. Investors make $100 million more dollars if prices go from 40 to 100. At 190, just think about how much money that is. Mario, I haven't even put those calculators together. I mean, my finance people would tell me I was crazy if I wanted to run the numbers at 190.
You know, so Jay, what do you look for? What's your criteria when you go out and you drill? You know, because I want to kind of get a little bit more into the how your business plan works.
Yeah, so you know, you buy enough land to drill. You buy enough land to have 60 locations. Let's just say 60 locations. This is just in a mind of mine thinking, okay, let's think about what this business does. Let's go do 60 locations. And that's 60 horizontal locations. So they may be, you know, maybe, you know, a thousand foot wide or 1,000 foot wide and then 5,000 foot or 1 mile long. Okay. That's a 1,300 by 5,200 feet, let's say. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how much land you have to drill one well. Okay. Then you want to buy 60 of those. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you buy 60 of those. Why do you buy 60? You want to drill 20 and you want to, because you asked this a minute ago, what's a PUD? Well, PUD was my grandfather's name, but I know you're not talking about my grandfather, PUD. What you're talking about is PUD, P-U-D, which is a proven undeveloped location. So you have first, you have your PDP well, and then you have your PUD, which is a proven undeveloped location. What you want to have is you want to have 20 different, you want to drill 20 maximum, you want to drill 20 different wells. So you have 20 different wells that are producing. And then you want to have 40, which is one on each side. Mm-hmm. You want to have those locations that are left for an oil and gas company to come in and drill those later on, right?
Got it.
So let's just say you go, okay, I want to drill one well and it costs $5 million to drill one well. Mm-hmm. I want to drill one well and I want to have two locations, one on each side of the horizontal, available. So that's a unit. I call that a J unit, J-A-Y unit, okay? Why? I don't know. I just came up with it. It was my name. So I thought, okay, let's call it a J unit, right? We'll call it a Mario unit. But a Mario unit. So a Mario unit is a well that you drilled horizontally, and it's a PDP well, PDP producing well. And then you have two locations on each side. Mm-hmm. But you have that's one unit. Okay. Each unit's worth $20 million. It costs you $5 million to drill it. Now, the question is, how do you get the money to go drill that? Mm-hmm. Well, if it's gonna cost you $5 million to drill that, and you're gonna drill four or five of those, then it costs you $20-25 million to drill those. Then you have to pay for the land and so forth. So I think you're getting the idea. Every time I drill one of those wells, it's worth $20 million. Why? Because the well that I've drilled is worth $10 million. I drilled. It cost me $5 million to drill it. It cost me $5 million to drill it. It's worth $10 million, and then the each side, you know, if there's 500,000 barrels that this well is producing, each location has 5,000 or 500,000 barrels on each location. So that's also good. That gives you another $5 million on each side. So you add the $5 million for the left horizontal location, The middle one is the producing well, which is worth 10. And the other one over here, which is worth 5, that's $20 million. Our goal would be to get to 20 locations, 20 Mario units at 20 million, which is $400 million, because you don't want, you drill one, you know, and a company's not interested, right?
Right,
right. You're going to say, well, it's just too small. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But if you drill 20 of them, or you put the plan together to drill at least 20 of them and give them 40 locations that they can drill in the future for $400 million, man, that's a great deal for them.
Got it. Okay.
They're not interested in exploring. Mm-hmm. They want to have it all set up for them.
Right, right. So let me make sure I'm clear on this. So as the there's an institutional market out there that will acquire these. You as the entrepreneur, you go out there, you drill, you buy the land, you drill the well, knowing there's two other potentials for drilling on each side, right? So you kind of add value to that land by drilling the well. You bundle that as a unit, a J unit or MAR unit, however you want to call it. You do that 20 different times, which ultimately is 20 different drill sites that you've hit, but with each dual side-by-side opportunity to drill more, you know, one on each side of each drill unit, you do that together, that's 60 units, and you flip that to the institutional market or the exit strategy that you guys have and that you have created over 100 years being an oil industry, right? The relationships you have.
Exactly. That's how Richard Rainwater, who set up this oil and gas business with the private equity years and years ago, and that was his mantra. That was his thought. Okay, mm-hmm. What's attractive to an oil and gas company? What's attractive to a public company? They want to buy assets. They want to buy assets. They want to buy production. So how do we set it up for them to be able to do that? So and there's plenty of companies right around us in Colorado right now that would, and I've talked to a couple of them. One in particular wanted to go public last year and they didn't. So they're looking for assets. Well, they'd love to take on our asset. So do we sell it all to them? Do we sell it if they have $200 million available? Man, we sell it to them, or sell all of it, or sell enough of it, because we want to get our money back to our investors as soon as possible. So maybe we go out to them and sell enough to get all the clients all their money back, and then after that, it's just going to be a revenue stream to them.
Right.
You know, because people love income. They love their money back, and they love income.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You live in California and be very, very happy and not have to worry about the weather.
So what type of folks can invest in these type of deals? Like, you know, I know we've talked a little bit about 1031 exchange, right? So there are a lot of the real estate guys, self-directed RIAs. Can you go into that a little more?
Yeah. So, you know, my goal, I love the oil business. I wake up about the oil business and think about, man, how can I drill complete? I'm in my zone when I'm at an oil field. Okay. A lot of people, and hey, we'd love to have people come out, see the oil field with us as we drill and complete wells. That's where I am. So I thought, okay, now this costs a lot more money to do. This costs, you have to buy the land, you have to drill these wells with equity, you've got to do all this. So you got to raise a lot of money in equity. Okay, mm-hmm. So how do we do this? Well, we need $50 million. Let's just say for this project, we need $50
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, $50 million, which is great. We need $50 million. So I thought, okay, there's a lot of people out there that have 1031 exchange. They have a 1031. What's the most attractive in the 1031? A Delaware statutory trust, where we control the asset, and once we see that it gets up to a certain level, we can divest it for the investor. So mm-hmm. It's a 1031. There's a lot of 1031s out there. You know, real estate is not necessarily, you know, where everybody wants to keep putting their money. They want us to manage the money for them and just send them checks.
Yep.
So that's one possibility, is the 1031 DST, diversifying some of your portfolio into energy. Number two is qualified funds. People have self-directed IRAs. They have money in there right now as interest rates are down. They don't have anything in there. I mean, there's a lot of people Quest IRA and a lot of other IRA companies are out there that have self-directed IRAs, and they're like, hey, I need to put my investment into something that I can generate more income than 1%, you know? So we have a program, or we have a PPM, and they can participate on that with their IRA.
Got it.
Also LP, which is the third form, which is, that's a write-off. So if you're in California and you're in the 100% or you're in the 50% tax bracket, mm-hmm. you can write this off 100%, probably 70, 80% the first year. That's so cool. If you're making, you know, $1 million a year in California, you know, $500,000 of that's going to go to the government because you're in the 50% tax bracket.
Right.
You have a state income tax, you have a federal income tax. You may make 50%, and I saw an article last week that it was more than 50%. But let's just say 50%. So your adjusted gross income is $1 million. You're paying $500,000 in taxes. Now, let's just say you invest $500,000 with me. Well, it takes that $1 million adjusted gross income down to $500,000. So you pay taxes on $500,000, which you may only pay 40% tax there instead of 50%, because you know you're taxed more as your income goes up. So you may only make 40% tax. Well, if you pay 40% tax on $500,000, you're paying $200,000 in tax instead of $500,000 in tax. You know, so
pretty big.
And I tell you, people love this investment because of that.
Especially California.
Love the oil and gas business. But I'm telling them right now, quit investing with those promoters out there that don't give you a shot at making money. That's the number one reason why I wanted to write that book. Mm-hmm. And I got Forbes to publish it. It took me time to do that. You know, I mean, I wanted investors to have the right way to invest in oil and gas. I wanted them to know that this is the best way to invest. And I wanted to give them a shot at making money. That's what we want, is for the investors to make money.
That's phenomenal. So what about like profit and pension sharing plans? Is that also can they invest through profit and pension sharing?
Yeah, they can. They can. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have that. And that's how the bigger funds are. You know, the bigger funds, I mean, I don't have any competition talking about high net worth individuals, because high net worth individuals don't have a chance at this model. They don't. They invest with other people. They're investing in a one well, two well deal. No scalability, no exit. Now, if you get up into the bigger funds like NGP or Energy, you know, these bigger funds, they go to pension funds and things like that. You know, so I do have competition in that world, but that's a lot bigger money. And they normally, you know, want to do deals that are more diversified than Colorado, or they're looking at bigger money.
So this kind of gets a little bit more into detail here, just to kind of drill into it a little more. Folks that are new to oil and gas, right? You talked a little bit about the tax incentives, but can you talk a little bit about IDCs, depreciation, depletion, that type of thing?
Yeah, so what intangible drilling cost is it's everything below the ground. So intangible is everything below the ground. Tangible is everything on the ground, things you can see, touch. So if we drill a well, you know, normally 70, 80% of that is intangible, which is everything below the ground. And the IRS allows you to write that off 100% of the intangibles the first year, okay? So then you said something about depletion.
Mm-hmm.
And depreciation and your intangibles write-off are pretty much the same thing. Now, if you write off, let's say you invest $1 million into oil and gas, $1 million, you can write off $700,000 to $800,000 the first year. The other $200,000 to $300,000 you can write off for the next 5 years. And just see your CPA about it, because some will allow you to write it off in 3 years, but you write that off in 3 to 5 years, the other $200,000. So it is 100% write-off. Now, the second thing you mentioned was, what about your you said something about depletion allowance.
Yeah,
depreciation. 15% of the income that comes back to you is tax-free. So you're getting you're getting income. Let's say if you make $1 million this year in income off oil and gas, $150,000 of that first is income free, tax free. You don't pay any income tax on that, which is great. You know, we like it because we're not paying taxes personally. And number one, and number two, a lot of our income is tax free because we don't pay taxes on the first 15% of that.
So one thing you mentioned earlier, I kind of want to go back to it a little bit because I think it's important for people to know that in the past, and you kind of alluded to it, but I understand it a little bit. In the past, people used to use tenants in common. And from my understanding, you know, from my real estate experience, tenants in common, everybody's got to vote unanimously in order to sell the asset. In today's time, the way things are done and the way you guys set things up, it's more as a DST, which allows you guys to sell with the 100 years of experience, because obviously you know when to sell that asset in order to make the greatest profit, right? I mean, is that, and that's kind of the difference between the past and
yeah, the tenants in common and the Delaware statutory trust. Exactly, Mario. So what that means basically is that, you know, when we go out to sell an asset, and we go to Gulf or Chevron, or there's some people out there, big companies that are right there next to it. Let's say they offer us, you know, $200 million. And so, you know, the way the Delaware statutory trust is I go to our bigger partners and talk to them. I'll go to four or five of our bigger partners and say, hey, what do you guys think about it? I may send out a letter to all the clients on the well and say, hey, we have an offer of $200 million. Give me your thoughts and you know, what should we do? And, you know, if they say, hey, you know what, I think this is a great idea, sell, because we only paid $50 million, mm-hmm. then we may just go, hey, we can do that. So once we make that decision, we're done. We don't have to go and get everybody to sign off on it or whatever. But if in the tenants in common, let's say you had one investor that invested $5 million of the $50 million, you know, he may say, I don't want to sell. And then you go back to the people that offered you $200 million and they said, nope, we're buying all of it or none. And then you go back to that guy and you go, hey, you know, they're offering you $20 million for your $5 million investment. And he may say, well, I don't want to do it now. I want to wait. You know, so you may have to incentivize him. I mean, it's just it's a kind of a deal where he's holding everybody back.
Right.
Hold I want everybody to make money off their investment. So what I'm looking to do is increase the value as soon as possible, sell, mm-hmm. and being able to do that, because not many companies want a tag-along investor. You know, like when I was with the Texas Rangers, you know, mm-hmm. I had to sign, I was only a 5% owner. I mean, only 5%. So, you know, I wasn't a big player in that. Well, I had to sign something that says, you know, hey, when you sign this, it means that if the Texas Rangers will be sold to another ownership group, you have zero say in it. And you go along, tag along, go along. I mean, it's like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. You know, I mean, I didn't have any say so. I mean, now there was a couple of guys that put in, you know, $75 million. Well, they're a little different than what my little piece of money was. So right, you know, obviously right. A little bit different.
Yeah.
I was a tag along, which is like the DST, same thing.
Right. Okay. So basically in the past, in the 80s or whatnot, there's a lot of red tape that potentially caused issues. Nowadays, it's like you have the ability to have everyone kind of ride the wave and sell at the right time and everything. So that's I'm hearing you. So and the final question I really have, you know, with today's market and, you know, the fact that, you know, everything, you know, has been affected by COVID, this is an election year. How do you see the election, you know, impacting oil and gas, and is that going to make an impact on price and all that jazz?
I mean, it is going to affect. And I mean, we don't have time for me to go over everything that I feel about the election and where I feel like oil price can go if we have Joe Biden instead of Donald Trump. You know, which I'm. You know, I'm of the idea that oil prices are going to go up either way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I don't think that Donald Trump's going to allow Saudi Arabia and Russia to flood the market anytime soon with oil. I do feel very comfortable about that, which means that we're going to have a supply problem, which means oil prices are going to go up. Mm-hmm. I was reading something last night about Joe Biden and him talking about things that he's going to do that's going to impact the drilling and completions. And I mean, man, if that happens, oil prices are going to go up, you know. And I haven't seen one thing that has said that oil prices are going down. And I really haven't talked to anybody that has said that oil prices are going down. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't, because, you know, a lot of times when there's nobody out there that says one thing, is that's what happens. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I just see it from a fundamental standpoint of right now there's no capital going into drilling shale wells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what that means is there's going to be no new oil on the market. And when no new oil is on the market in the United States, we're going to have a supply problem, which is going to bring back, and it's going to be whether or not, and if the Democrats or the Republicans, either one, allow no drilling or fracking or whatever, mm-hmm. that's going to give us a supply problem. And when we have a supply problem, we're going to have an increase in oil and gas. And when that happens, I mean, there's $100 million back to the investors, right. You know, from $40 to $100 a barrel. It's amazing.
So the
difference is.
So me, you know, me just being new to the oil and gas, basically, from a logical standpoint, COVID's affected the oil and gas dramatically, because obviously we're not, you know, moving around as much. So that's dropped. The oil rigs are down. I think I read an article. What's the last amount of, how low has it gone?
Yeah, there's about 200 rigs running right now for oil and gas in the United States. 200. There was a thousand back in March.
Uh-huh.
Now, 2 years ago, there was like 1,700. So we've gone from 1,700 rigs to 1,000. Now we're at 200 or less.
So obviously that's like a no-brainer. The demand is going to be phenomenally great. And then with the election, either way it goes, it's still going to create the, you know, massive demand.
That's exactly.
To me, it sounds like a pretty much a no-brainer. Get in low, ride the wave high, make a lot of money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we're very excited about it. We can't, you know, we have to have a forward-looking statement saying that, you know, oil and gas, there is risk in oil and gas, but that's the reason why there's so much upside.
Yeah.
You know, we talked, and I met you when I was talking about that $6 million investment
uh-huh.
that we did in a very short time. We did $6 million and sold a third of the asset for $8 million, give all the clients their money back. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at, and I really feel like that oil prices will go up a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
When they do, we're going to sell everything. And we're just going to be sitting here by the end of next year with a bunch of money in our pockets, mm-hmm. which is obviously great news. You know, so I'm excited. I'm excited about the way that oil and gas is going now. I'm excited about what we're doing. And you know, you know, where King Operating is right now with our team that we have, which is world class. There's also a lot of on YouTube, and there's a lot of things that we have right now that can explain exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
which is great too. And it's just a matter of drilling wells. I mean, it's not. I know to a lot of people, especially real estate in California, you're like, how do you drill wells? But man, it's not that hard.
It's fascinating.
Done it hundreds of times, and it's something that just comes second nature, and it's something I love. I mean, really, really do love. I love getting out there and seeing it, seeing, you know, what's going on down in the ground, you know, 2 miles, 3 miles, and you know, it is exciting. And this is going to be a great fun. So we want everybody listening to want more information from us. You know, call Mario. Call Mario Gallo, look at kingoperating.com website, ask us anything that we can do to help you understand more about numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about numbers. It's $50 million, and if it's worth, you know, $40 a barrel, if oil is at four, if you look on the TV and oil is at $40 a barrel at the end of next year, your asset's worth $80 million. If it's up, it's gonna be more. And if you believe like we do, that oil prices are going to go up, man, we're in for a great ride and for some great money between now and then. So,
yep. And so what I'll do for the folks listening is when they reach out to me, that we got a video of you at the site, right? The actual oil rig. We've got a lot of content, the numbers, we can get them on the phone with you directly, and you're accessible. You know, you're the sponsor of the fund and the owner, and you are accessible. So Jay, thank you very much for your time today. We very much appreciate it and look forward to going on this ride with you.
Hey, great. Thanks you very much, Mario. I appreciate you coming in and talking to some of your personal friends about us and about King Operating and you putting the confidence in us. We do appreciate that. And man, we're just excited about the oil and gas business and the future. We're very excited about the future. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.